In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. We are saved as a community. We are saved in the body of Christ, the church. A person goes to hell alone. They're saved together. If we live alone, we live in a way that goes to hell. If we live together, if we care for one another, then we are living in the Christian way, in the way that brings us together to salvation. This is the way things have always been, the way things always will be. That's why it's always sad when I hear stories about church council meetings that are like blood sport, or about parishes where people don't get along at all, or about rival parishes. Sometimes literally, there's one case I know of, rival parishes that are on the same block in the city, that are one split from the other. This is blasphemy. This is the way of hell. We are to live together. We are to work together. You cannot be saved alone. You can't do things on your own. You're not strong enough. And not only that you need Jesus Christ and you need the saints, you need also the sinners. You need us. You need everybody in the church. My wife and I have been very aware of that since the death of our son Daniel. Because of, to be honest with you, the modern communications technology. It's made it very easy for hundreds of people. It's probably more than 1,000 at this point that have communicated to us about Daniel. And of those 1,000, several hundred have said that they are praying for Daniel and for us and will continue to pray for Daniel and for us. So we feel like all these hands holding us up. And there have been times when I didn't feel like I could stand very well at all. But I knew that others were praying for me. Others were praying for my son, which was the most important thing. And sometimes people would also send things, tell us things that were very dear. Sometimes about their own loss. Sometimes about their own love for us. Sometimes people we knew. Sometimes people we didn't know at all. And this kind of support did and continues to hold us up, because I can't stand up on my own. This is the biggest thing I've ever had to deal with, and I can't stand without help. The epistle speaks about this kind of thing. We must learn to do this. This must be just in the way we live, in everything we do, the way we think. We're part of a body. So the apostle says we are laborers together with God. We labor together. I can't tell you how much comfort it gives to me that I am praying for people whose son died, and they are praying for my son who died, or their daughter, or their husband, or their wife, or their friend. There's a great comfort in that. We are laboring together. We are mutually praying for one another and for the one that we lost. There's a great power in that. We must labor together because, as the apostle goes on to say, we are God's husbandry, we are God's building. You can't build a building with one person. It's completely impossible. You need multiple people to hold up the walls and to do other such things when you're putting up the joists and things like that. One man can't do it. Two can't do it. Perhaps you need 10 and 20 or 100 to do some big building, or 1,000. And so we are these people that are building onto the foundation. So Paul talks about this foundation that he lays as a wise master builder. But then he tells us, let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon, upon this foundation. There's only one thing that you can build upon this foundation with, and that is Christ, he says. You can't build anything else. And what is it to build with Jesus Christ on the foundation? That is, to build up the church. That is, those who are in the church, us. How do we build up those in the church? Only by putting on the foundation that which is Jesus Christ. And that is, to love as Christ loves, to humble ourselves as he humbled himself, to have eyes to see people who are suffering like he saw people who are suffering. Remember the parable of the Good Samaritan? Do you know how it says that he came to the man who was on the road? It said, as he journeyed, he came to. He literally came to that man. His journey was to get to that man. It wasn't by accident as it was for the priest and the Levite. It was by design. So we must learn to have this by design. We must look out and see people suffering. A whole world of suffering has been opened up unto my wife and I and my family because of our suffering. We've seen that there's an enormous amount of suffering. And we, as Christians, must feel that suffering, and therefore we must labor together with those who suffer. Otherwise, we really can't call ourselves Christians. And the foundation is Christ, so we lay on it Christ. Nothing else. If you have a good foundation and inferior materials upon that foundation, the house will fall. So the good materials are love and all the things that I just told you about. An effort and mutual labor and understanding that you are part of a whole. That when someone suffers, you suffer. That when someone is glad, you are glad. That when an enemy has a problem, you pray for them. And it's as if you have had the loss. This is Christianity. Now, perhaps we can't reach that exalted height. Perhaps when someone has a loss, we don't really feel it. Well, I'll be honest with you. It's very hard to feel someone else's loss unless you've had that kind of loss. I know something about losing a son. So when I hear somebody losing a son, I know what they feel. I've had exchanges with people. I'm saying, does this happen and this happen and this happen? And they nod their head because the same things happen to them. It's happened to me. So I can't feel a loss that I haven't had yet. But I can, at least as a human being, have some empathy for someone who's had a loss. I don't know. Someone who's run away, or someone who's died of a drug addiction, or someone who's left the church, or maybe being far away from home and not being able to go back. I haven't experienced that, but I know something about pain, so I can experience in some way that person's pain, and I can in some way labor with them regarding their pain. That's what you must do as Christians. That's why I harp in sermons all the time and privately all the time. Do you have a prayer list? Do you pray for people that have needs? Do you reach out about people that are suffering? Perhaps there's a certain thing that you really sticks with you. Do you pray for those people, whether you know them or not? Then you are laboring together with them, and you're laboring together with the church, because I tell you, the Mother of God prays for everybody and labors for everybody. And so do the saints. So you must develop this soft heart towards people and pray for them and work with them and understand that we are part of the body. It made me feel real good yesterday. There were some people that came to the last of the 40 days liturgies for Daniel. They were completed yesterday. So to celebrate, I celebrated liturgy again today. Tomorrow I won't celebrate liturgy for the first time in forever. And to be honest with you, I'm appreciating a little bit of rest. But yesterday was his 40th liturgy in a row on his 56th day of his death. And there were people that were present just to pray with us for my son. And I felt supported. You should do things like that. You should look to people that need support in some way and give them help. Whether it be material help, whether it be just that you look them in the eye and say, I care, or whether it be to go to something that they're doing, whatever it is. but certainly that you would pray for them. This is a critical thing to be a Christian. You know, some of this stuff is really hard to do in life. Maybe it's really hard to never to stop cussing. Maybe you're going to cuss to the rest of your end of your life. Maybe it's really hard to stop smoking, or maybe it's really hard to stop having jealous thoughts or sexual thoughts, or it's really hard to have a consistent prayer rule. People consistently tell me about their inconsistency in prayer. And maybe they'll never get completely better. Maybe some of those things will never get completely better. That's hard stuff. But this is easy. You have needs, you have desires, you get hurt, so do other people. And then your heart should reach out to those people in any way that you are able to reach out. Even if it's only prayer, even if it's only just a smile or talking to them or whatever it is. And this will save your soul, because this is Christianity. This is kindness. And without kindness, we can't be saved. Without kindness, we're not at all like God. Because God is kind. Of course, we say it in a more theological way. We say God is love. And St. Paul later on speaks about love in Corinthians chapter 13. Love is patient and kind and all of these things. Cultivate that in your life. Maybe you'll never have a consistent prayer rule. I don't know. I hope you will. But what's more important to me as your pastor is that you consistently love others and you consistently feel yourself to be a part of others. And when someone suffers, you suffer. That's Christianity. That's building upon the foundation, which is Christ, with more of Christ. Even though we're sinners, even though we have all kinds of imperfections, even though perhaps we say we don't know the Bible, we don't understand theology, we don't go to church all the time, we don't fast much, blah, blah, blah. If we love, then we are like Christians. We are like Christ. And so we must understand this. We must live in this way. Well, I'm going to tell you a little theology now. This is some pretty heavy theology. It's important to know because this passage has been misunderstood. So I'm kind of taking a big turn now. I apologize for that. But it's important that you understand this, because when people read the scriptures, sometimes they get the wrong idea. And this wrong idea can be deadly. People are using the scriptures now to justify all kinds of things that are deadly to their souls. And this is one example. So, St. Paul talks about that you have to build onto the foundation with Christ. The foundation is Christ, and we have to lay upon that foundation more of Christ. So then he says, if a man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be manifest. Of course, he's metaphorically speaking, the gold and the silver, those are pure things. Those are good things. Those are the things of Christ. And then the wood and the hay and the stubble, they burn away or they get eaten by insects. They don't last very long. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Gold passes through fire. Wood and stubble and hay don't. And so St. Paul goes on to say, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved as through fire. People think, oh, well, you know, that's pretty good. I'll be a sinner and I'll lose things. And the things that I care about and the things that I worked for that really weren't good things to work for because they're wood and hay and stubble, they'll be burned away, but then I'll be purified and I'll be saved. Well, no, that's not true. The things that you did that are not of Christ will be burned away. But if you didn't do things of Christ, you will be burned away too. This figure of speech, he will be saved as through fire. St. John Chrysostom is real clear about this. Now, there are people that are arrogant enough in Orthodoxy to say, if St. John Chrysostom agrees with them, to say he's wrong. But I hope you don't make that mistake. St. John speaks very clearly that being saved as through fire means you're lost. In other words, the soul lives, The soul remains alive, but it's condemned because there's nothing like God in the soul. Well, you must build with the things of God. And of course, we, because we're sinners, we also build with things that are not of God, and those things will be burned away. But let's ask God, let's beg God that we will build with good things more than bad things. More silver and more gold and less hay and stubble. And then when we are judged, the Lord will look into our hearts. It's really simple. The judgment's really simple. St. Matthew makes it real clear, the 25th chapter. He's going to look in your heart. He's going to see if he recognizes himself in you. You're made in the image of God. You're responsible for having this image become the likeness of God. You can think of it as like polishing the image. And he's going to look in. And if he sees himself in you, he will say, welcome. If he doesn't, he will say, I don't know you. It's as simple as that. And that person that is only built with things that are wood and hay and stubble, the Lord will say, I don't know you. There will be nothing in him that is of God. And he will say, go away from me, because you're not like me at all. So Christianity is to become like God. Now, it's great if you can become very pure, if you can not sin, and if you can have a long prayer rule, and all these other such things. Some people can attain those things. My experience is that very few do. But God will find any reason whatsoever to save a person. This is a fundamental teaching of our church. And you especially talk to monks, nuns, monastics, they'll tell you about this. Because they understand real hard work. Because they understand hard work, they also understand love. And they understand that God will look for anything in a man that is like him, that he can recognize. And if he finds it, a man can be saved. It's those who have nothing like God in themselves that are not saved. And so we must do things such that are like God. We must build upon the foundation with things that are of God. And then the Lord will see us in the last day, and he'll say, I know you. I recognize you. You're just like me. Maybe a partially like me, but enough like me that I say, well done, good and faithful servant. And the way you attain this is to have the idea that St. Paul is talking about here. We are fellow laborers with God. So on a practical level, if you don't have a prayer list and you don't pray for people that are in your life or come into your life, then I'm going to tell you what, you're plain old flat out not doing it right. You got to fix that. If you come to church every day or every week or some Sundays or whatever, and you're with people and you barely know what's going on in their lives, and you hear, oh, well, they had a problem breathing, okay. But you don't pray for them, you're doing it wrong. The people that are in your lives, and if you come to this church, these people, and more so, are in your lives. Whether you like it or not, whether you like them or not, whether you know them or not, they're in your lives. And when you go to work in an office, those people are in your lives. And if you work out at a gym and you see a particular person most days, that person is in your life. And if you hear that person has some problem, then that's your problem too. Because we are fellow laborers. And we labor for one another. It's a great privilege to labor for one another. It's not only a privilege, but it's a commandment. And it's the way to be saved. May God help us to have this understanding, to live supporting one another. And then we'll be saved. God bless you.